Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk. Today we have a very special doctor, Jeffrey S. Leith, MD, who has written a book called The Life Plan, How Any Man Can Achieve Lasting Health, Great Sex, and a Stronger, Leaner Body. Hello.
Hello, David. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I love your before and after pictures on the cover here. It's the first thing that catches your eye about this book. But that's what you looked at age 57, right?
Yep. I was a fat, middle-aged doctor that was headed down a crash-and-burn course in terms of diabetes and heart disease.
Right. And did you have heart disease at the time, or had you had a heart attack or anything?
No, I never had a heart attack, but I found out later that I do have heart disease, so I've been working very hard on stopping the progression of that and reversing it. And I was almost in that picture, that before picture, I was almost a diabetic.
Wow. That's, you know, and to look at you today, now this is a current picture of you at 72 and with the body you have. This is a lot of work. I mean, we're not just talking something that's going to change overnight, is it? I mean, just reading the book, you see how much work is involved in this. It seems a little overwhelming. Is it overwhelming at first?
At first it was. Because I did very little exercise and I ate very badly. But my book is really all about the secrets that I've learned from myself, my own experience, and my patients.
But anybody can do this.
Yes, anybody can do this.
Even if you're, say, 200 pounds overweight, you can still do it.
Yes, yes, yes.
No matter what situation. That's the nice part about this whole thing. It's open to anybody. They're not... I mean, you always hear people say, well, I have a different metabolism. I have a faster metabolism. I can eat what I want. I mean, is that something that... Is that a lie we tell ourselves?
For the most part. I mean, there are some people that have really very slow metabolisms. But when you start doing the right kind of exercise and eating properly, you can jazz up your own resting metabolism and start burning calories at rest. And then the other key part of all this is that you need to make sure your hormone levels are adequate. If you are deficient in key hormones, then you will never, ever be successful. And that's what happens with most men. By the time men reach about age 45 or so, their testosterone levels have declined to the point that they are fighting an uphill battle when it comes to getting rid of body fat and maintaining their muscle mass and strength.
We should never give up. I would say that you don't hear much about that. Why is it you don't hear a lot about that? I mean, it's all over your book. I mean, you're very honest about what you have to do, and the way you have to change your life, really, completely.
Well, women are about 20 years ahead of men when it comes to recognizing the importance of hormones, and so for 20, almost 30 years, women have known that maintaining estrogen levels and progesterone levels is really important if they want to maintain a quality life. Menopause happens pretty abruptly for women, so they know when this happens, almost to the month. But with men, the counter to menopause is andropause. And andropause happens very slowly in men. And so it creeps up on men, and they don't really start recognizing it until they're in their mid to late 40s. And they know they've just lost their edge. Their sexual function has declined. Their ability to get rid of body fat has really taken a hit. And so most of them are accumulating body fat inside their belly, which puts them at great risk for disease.
Right.
And poor quality of life.
And I mean, we're so ingrained today about eating things. I mean, the quickness of it. I mean, we can go to any fast food place and pick up something really quick and cheap and eat it, and we think we're full. We think we've done what we need to do to stay full. But I mean, it's such a deceptive thing. I mean, I try to stay away from all that stuff because it's so bad for you.
Oh yeah, it's killing Americans. You know, this generation, this young generation of Americans, for the first time ever in the history of mankind, parents will live longer than their kids. These kids will grow up and not have as long of a lifespan because of the way we eat today, the way the young people eat today. My book is all about, it's for men, and it's all about how to make it simple so that men men can eat healthy and exercise in such a way that it doesn't consume your life, and then you can achieve this leanness and great health.
Now, how many hours a day do you exercise, or is it hours, or is it, I mean, a lot of people say you need 30 minutes a day of exercise. What's the real fact? How much exercise do we need, or does it depend on how big or how unfit we are?
Well, really, I think there are two questions. How much does it take to really achieve optimal health and a good quality of life? And that would be probably an hour of resistance training 4 times a week and 30 to 45 minutes of cardio 4 times a week.
That's a lot of exercise.
Well, that's not much. If you just make it part of your day, if you get up and do that and knock it out, four sessions a week of cardio is, and that can be something you enjoy. Now, I do much more than that, and people, I do Taekwondo, and I do Pilates, and people say, why do you do so much? And the answer really is that I like doing it, and that I can do it. And to me, that's pretty amazing. At 72, I can do these things and that I could never even think of doing 10 years ago.
Well, how did you get past the point? Well, obviously, when you were 57, you wouldn't have wanted to do that much exercise if you were doing any at all. How did you get to the point where you just did it? I mean, it's a huge reversal to start, all of a sudden start exercising when you didn't before. How does the general person get past all that, you know, I can't do that much kind of attitude?
Well, first of all, you got to recognize where you're headed with your health. And once that really sinks in, that if someone doesn't make changes in their life, then they are going to crash and burn with bad health. Once that really sets in, then you start doing some things. I hired a trainer, and I started going to the gym. And then I entered the Body for Life contest, Bill Phillips Body for Life contest, back in 1998. And that really got me turned around. And the more fit I got, the more I enjoyed working out. And so then I set my goals higher and higher.
So people must see you today and think you look like you're in your 50s.
Actually, I have a body from my neck down that's like someone in their 30s, and then people say to me, this is amazing, that the way you look. And no one is more amazed, David, than I am. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, oh my God, I can't believe how I've been able to achieve this. And so I've taken all I've learned and put it into my book and what I've learned from my patients.
Right.
And it's not difficult. I've made it very simple so that people can follow a healthy eating plan and a reasonable exercise program and achieve great results.
Now, in order to eat food that's really good for you, it is a bit more expensive than eating, bad food that's bad for you. Is that not true? And how does one carry the expense? I mean, we're so much into saving money nowadays that,
I actually address this in my book. And if you eat healthy, it's really not that much more expensive.
Or the taste, even the taste. People say, "Well, it doesn't taste good. I don't want to eat something that doesn't taste good. I want it to taste good."
Well, when you're used to eating fast food, and then you make the switch to healthy food, there is this transition period where it doesn't taste all that great. But if you stay with it, and as time goes on, then you really start enjoying the healthy food. And if you then were to eat bad food, you find it really disgusting.
Exactly. And you're right about that. I had a discussion with somebody today about the sugar in soda. And I assume you don't really drink a lot of soda to begin with. But is diet soda okay to drink? Or is there something better we should be drinking?
Well, you should be drinking water. An occasional diet soda is fine.
Well, thanks to you, I drank extra water today. Reading about the way you talk about water, how important it is, and the tire, because I have problems with being tired in the middle of the afternoon. That's a major problem for me.
All right. Well, it could be related to what you eat for your lunch. You got to make sure that you eat something for lunch that will not spike your blood sugars, which end up causing you to be really tired in the afternoon. And then, as you just said, drink plenty of water. And then make sure that your hormone levels are healthy. Make sure your testosterone level is in a healthy range.
And how do you figure that out? Do you have to see your doctor about that?
You have to see your doctor and ask him or her to order the test that I've outlined at the end of my book. And then I've given a table of what those levels should be.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually get your doctor to order these, and then you can look at your results and see where you stand.
Right. And that's what's great about the book. Everything's in the book. I mean, everything you need is in this book.
I see a lot of men that come in, and they've been going to their family doctor, and they've told him or her that they're tired and they just lack energy, and then they ask for a testosterone test. And when the testosterone test comes back, their doctor says, well, you know, you're normal. But what the doctor doesn't tell them is that they're at the bottom of the reference range. They're a D student rather than an A or a B student. So my book tells you what levels you should have. And if you don't have those levels, you know why you're tired and why you're losing muscle mass and strength as you're getting older.
Now, does drinking more water help you with the tiredness, too? I mean, does this take away? Will it take away the tiredness, or is it more in what you eat that makes you tired?
Well, it's all of that, David. But most Americans are dehydrated, live their day-to-day lives in a dehydrated state. So if you drink plenty of water, it just kind of changes your whole metabolism, improves your ability to burn calories, and gives you a lot more energy.
I must say, you mentioned here about the craving for food. I find that after I eat lunch, I have a sudden craving for a snack. And you mentioned in here about after 15 minutes, it usually goes away. And I tested that out today, and I found out that is definitely true. It's that feeling of, I got to have something right now. I got to this quick fix that you need.
Right.
It's really a dangerous thing.
It happens to everybody. Especially if you're used to spiking your blood sugars. What happens is if you eat foods that jump your blood sugar up, then your pancreas pours out a lot of insulin and your blood sugars come crashing down. And that's when you get that feeling that you need another something to eat. So if you eat foods that don't jump your blood sugars up, after a week or so, you don't get these cravings.
Are most of them fruits and vegetables that do that?
Stabilized blood
sugars. Yeah, that are good to eat for snacks.
Well, some fruits can cause blood sugar rises. So I tell people to stay away from the tropical fruits. Grapes and apples are good. And, you know.
So no oranges.
Well, an orange is okay, but no juices. No fruit juices. They definitely spike your blood sugar.
Even if it's 100% fruit juice?
Even if it's 100%, it's still a lot of sugar in there. And it gets into your stomach, and it's mainline into your bloodstream, and so your blood sugars just goes sky high. And then you pour out a ton of insulin, and you come crashing back down. And that's typically how Americans live their day-to-day lives, with their blood sugars going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Well, Americans are really hard on their bodies, aren't they? We don't even realize it. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize what they're doing to themselves. That's pretty scary.
No, it really is very scary. When you consider type 2 diabetes, which when I went through my training, it was called adult onset diabetes. Now we can't call it that because kids have it. It's a type of diabetes that is related to obesity and overeating. And we have an epidemic of that in this country.
And it's because we're not eating the right things. I mean, that's a big part of it.
That's right. We're getting fast foods. Fast foods have been a huge part of all this. And then the highly processed carbohydrates, the flours, the wheat and the grains that are processed to the point that they taste really good, and then when they get into your stomach, they go right into your bloodstream as sugar.
It's interesting. You have different things in the book. You're taking control of your health, a life plan. You have an actual plan that somebody can follow. I mean, an exercise plan. You have a what you should eat plan, and there's all different. What do you eat on a typical day? Like, let's take today for instance. For you, what would you eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Okay. Well, I go to the gym and I don't eat anything till after I train, and then I have a shake, a protein shake, and I put a banana in that, and that's the only time I recommend that you eat a high glycemic carbohydrate, which would be the banana, because then you want to bump your blood sugars up and your insulin, because that's when you can build some muscle.
Right.
So that's my first meal is this shake, and then that lasts me for about three hours or so, and then I have a salad with chicken or a salmon and vegetables.
Now, you only romaine lettuce. Is it true iceberg lettuce isn't very good for you?
You can go crazy thinking about all this. I think just a salad with any kind of lettuce is fine.
Okay.
But throw some vegetables in there. And that's what I have for lunch around 11 or 12. And then I try to eat every 3 to 4 hours. That's actually when I really start getting hungry is every 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do this right, you can actually feel your body get hot when you eat, which means you're just revving up your metabolism and burning fat.
Hmm.
And so about 3 p.m, I'll have another salad or something like that. It's a serving of protein and vegetables and a yam or something like that. Wild rice is also very good. But you got to make make it serving size. Don't do the typical huge servings that we get here in restaurants throughout the country.
Right.
And then I have the similar meal for dinner, and that's it. I have four to five small meals a day.
Which is what most people will say. Most people that are into as much as you are would say that you have to have at least that many. I mean, most people think they only eat three a day, but...
Yeah, David, the key to burning body fat and maintaining your muscle mass is to eat 4 to 5, maybe even 6, small meals a day that have protein and a low glycemic carbohydrate like wild rice or brown rice and vegetables. And stay away from breads, potatoes, pasta, white rice, breakfast cereals, tropical fruit, and fruit juices. If you do that, you're going to lose weight, body fat.
Right.
And then if you combine resistance training and cardio, not a ton of it, just 45 minutes of resistance training and, say, 30 minutes of cardio, you will start dropping body fat and increase your muscle mass.
Wow. You make it sound so easy.
Well, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's pretty straightforward, but you got to commit to it, and then you got to break these old habits that you have. And once you do that, and it doesn't take a lot of time, 2-3 weeks, and you start seeing the results, and then that just reinforces what you're doing.
Now, there's people in the book that you've helped, and I love looking at their after bodies, but how long does it take these people to get into the groove of it? I mean, what are we talking, months before they really start to see what they need to do?
Most people start experiencing changes in the way they feel within the first 2 weeks. Especially if they have low testosterone levels, and I correct their testosterone levels, and if they've been eating really badly, and I get them to start eating healthy, it energizes them. So within the first 2 weeks, they start noticing changes, and then as time goes on, when I do my first blood draw after they get started, which is at 2 months, many of them have lost a significant amount of body fat and increased their muscle mass. And I do DEXA scans, so I know exactly how much muscle people have to the gram, and I know how much body fat they have.
Right. So you can't hide anything from you, doctor, you know, right away.
Right.
It's such a great plan. I mean, just thinking about, you know, all the things... all the benefits you get from it, the increased energy. How many of us wouldn't love to have more energy than we have? I mean, everybody's always saying they're tired, or, you know, how many people go through their day at least 3 or 4 times how tired they are. Do you ever get tired during the day?
Not really. I mean, sometimes when I really train hard with Taekwondo, I feel kind of exhausted, but then that goes away after 15 minutes or so. I get home from, you know, I work a full job. I'm building my practice here.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a book last year. I am pursuing an MBA at Auburn University. I want to get my black belt in Taekwondo by the time I'm 75.
Wow.
I train with my trainer 5 mornings a week with weights. And I ride my exercise bike and listen to music or watch DVDs and for 35 to 50 minutes. And no, I don't get tired. I go home. But when it's time to go to bed, I go to bed, I go right to sleep.
And that helps. That's another thing with sleeping habits. I mean, how many people have trouble sleeping at night? I mean, I can't tell you all the people that tell me how much trouble they have sleeping, laying down just sleeping.
Right.
And it helps with all that, too. I mean, there's no end to the benefits of this program. But then what do you exercise on the weekends, too, right?
No, I take it a little easier on the weekends. I always do something. I do something every day. But I don't lift weights on the weekends.
Why is that?
5 days a week.
Is it enough?
Monday through Friday is plenty. You know, you got to give your body time to rebuild these muscle fibers. That's how you increase your muscle mass and strength, by tearing down these little muscle fibers, and then they grow back tougher. So you got to give yourself a break to rebuild. And then I do stretching every day. Stretching is something you can do every day, and I've found that that's really changed my life, becoming more and more flexible.
TV is really a bad thing for us, isn't it? I mean, when you think of all the people that sit in front of their TV a lot, and I'm guilty of it too, I mean, it's stopping you from exercising, basically.
You know, if you get ingenious like about it, you can watch TV while you're on an exercise bike.
Absolutely.
Which is what I do. I've become a real fan of these drama series, action. And so I wait till the whole season's over, and then I buy the whole year, and I watch each episode while I'm riding my exercise bike. And that's the rule. I can't watch an episode without being on my bike.
And you also, there's a link between depression and not eating right, too, is there not? You mentioned depressing here. When somebody is depressed, is it because they're not eating right? I mean, there is a definite link there?
There is a definite. There are studies that show that people that start clean up their eating and start an exercise program can correct clinical depression without being on medication. Absolutely.
And that would include, I guess, worry too, and all stress. I mean, you can basically do anything. You can. Is there any limit to what you can do to make yourself better? I mean, all the things you have going on in your life that are creating all these diseases, the stress and the anxiety or whatever you're feeling.
It's stress is a major cause of disease in this country, and it's sort of a silent killer. Stress can cause it causes you to store body fat in and around your belly. It can cause your blood pressure to go up. It can cause your blood vessels to become diseased. And if you eat right and exercise on a daily basis or on a regular program, you can do so much to reduce your stress level.
And you don't take any days off either, other than the weekends. Your weeks are full of exercise. I mean, you don't have a day where you get up and you say, I'm not going to exercise today.
Occasionally, I'll do a Sunday without doing anything, but that doesn't happen very often. And then about twice a year, I'll take a vacation, go for a week with my wife, and I won't exercise. But then when I get back, I'm anxious to get back on track. And I talk in my book about what you do when you get off track. Everybody gets off track, but you want to get right back on track as quickly as possible. So I have all these little things that I recommend that keep people on track, or once you get off track, get you back on track.
Now, this eating, you don't advocate eating after 7 p.m., right? It says by 6 or 7 here.
Yeah, if your goal is to drop body fat, if you have like 20, 30 pounds of body fat that you need to get rid of, especially abdominal fat, you do not want to be eating much after 6 or 7 p.m. If you do, then you want to make sure it's not a high glycemic carbohydrate. You know, a lot of people eat breakfast cereal at night before they go to bed, and that's just really unhealthy. That just spikes their insulin, and then what happens during the night is you can't make growth hormone like you you ordinarily would. So people that eat high glycemic carbs after 7 or 8 p.m. will have low growth hormone levels.
Hmm. That's a very sobering thought. I mean, how many of us eat before 7 p.m.? Probably not a lot of us. We're so busy working. Now, exercise, what's the difference between exercising at work and exercising at home? Now, if you have a job where you walk a lot and you are always walking around, is that good exercise, or do you still need to do exercise when you come home at night?
Well, you still need to get your heart rate up to a target heart rate, which would be anywhere from, depends on your age. I talk about this in my book. What heart rate do you need to work at? But just walking around at your place of work or staying active definitely helps, but you still need to get your heart rate up like above 100, 100, in some cases 100, up to 150, 160, depending on your age, and keep it there for a sustained period of time to really achieve cardiovascular benefits. In other words, to achieve a healthy heart and blood vessels.
Well, how do we know when we're exercising when it's been enough? I mean, is there a point? Are there things you should watch out for as far as how much you should exercise? I mean, the tendency is, I know when I exercise, I want to do a lot at one time. I think the more I do, the better I'm gonna feel.
Well, I talk about this in my book. I actually have outlined exactly how much cardio people need to do to achieve a healthy heart and blood vessels. But, you know, when you start an exercise program, you got to realize this is a lifelong program that you're doing, not just for a few weeks. So I always tell people to start easy and gradually increase it. If you start too aggressively, you're going to burn out, and then you're just going to quit. You're going to hurt yourself. So. I think getting a trainer, if you're going to start lifting weights, get a trainer. If you've never lifted weights before, get a trainer that can really guide you through this and ease you through this and teach you the right form.
And you talk about that also, having somebody doing it with somebody, not just by yourself, because it's too easy to give up when you're by yourself. It's too easy to say, I'm not going to do it today.
My whole book is all about how to get started on this and then stay with it. There are so many people that start great programs and achieve great results, and then they get off track, and it takes them months and sometimes years to get back on track.
Right, and that's pretty good. And it's admirable that they tried, but you got to keep it up. It's hard. It isn't going to be easy. And do you have a whole gym at your home? I mean, is that where you work at, or
no.
do you go somewhere?
I work. I have a gym at my office, and we do strength testing here when my patients come in. But I go to a regular gym. I meet my trainer there. It's one of the most enjoyable parts of my day is getting to the gym and then working out with my trainer, who's a friend of mine, and now he works here at my office and runs my exercise nutrition program. But that's a great part of the day for me. It's a lot of fun to get together, and we talk, and then there are a bunch of other people at the gym, and you get to interact. It's a very enjoyable time for me.
Now, does your wife also exercise a lot? Are you able to get her to exercise also? I mean, do you guys exercise together?
No, she likes to swim, which is what I used to do. But she goes to the gym and she swims, and she does some resistance training. But she prefers to just go on her own, and that works out well for both of us.
We each have our own little thing, you know. That's
right.
But it's like I said, it's great that there's all, and you even have shopping lists here for healthy and fat burning diets, the low calorie cheeses and yogurt. I mean, everything's in here. Chicken's really good for you. But does it have to be the boneless, skinless time or can we eat other kinds of chicken too?
Well, once again, David, you can get really crazy about all this stuff.
Yeah.
You can just drive yourself nuts. I think just basically my book's all about making it really simple. And so if you really like dark meat chicken, then you can have that some of the time. But you got to realize that, you know, that there's less fat in the white meat. And if your goal is to drop body fat, or if your goal is to reverse heart disease, then you need to really follow what I've outlined there for the heart diet.
Right.
If you just want to maintain a healthy weight, then I've got that program in there too.
Do you find, as you older get, you seem to have no problem exercising anytime. I mean, as you age, does it become harder to exercise every 5 days a week, or is it because you've been?
You know, the amazing thing to me is that each year I get better at this. It just amazes me. This program has proved to me, based on my own experience and my patients, that you can get better as you get older. And so I'm 72, and I set new goals. And each time I've had a photo, every birthday I get a photo shoot, and each photo shoot looks better than the last one. So I have found that once you get locked into this kind of program that I've, the life plan, that you just keep getting better, and it gets easier.
Boy, that sounds great. Do you plan on having some kind of video that people can use too?
We're working on my own exercise routine. We're going to put that into a video format.
They should give you your own TV show. Put you on instead of Dr. Phil. I'd rather watch you than Dr. Phil.
I don't want to comment on that. I have been on Fox and Friends.
Oh, you have?
If you go to my website, all these TV encounters, as they happened, I put them on my website. Also, radio interviews, they're on my website.
You seem to be a really good people person too, and you tell it like it is. You don't sugarcoat anything, which is what you need. I mean, there are people that'll tell you certain things that aren't necessarily true, but you're pretty honest with people.
You know, I think one of the unique things about my book is that it's written by a fat doctor that figured out how to get rid of his belly and regain his health.
And everybody can relate to that because we all, you know, I mean, a lot of people can because they're going through it now and they see what you've done with yourself and how this has changed your life. You know, you can change it also.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the idea of being bored in eating or having nothing. Is that an epidemic too? Are there too many people that are doing that too?
You mean eating out of boredom?
Yeah, eating out of boredom or eating because there's...
Well, there are a lot of people that do emotional eating.
Or emotional, yeah, to that too. If you're feeling bad and you eat, you feel a little bit better.
And the highly processed foods that we have available today in our food supply push your blood sugars up and give you that kind of a buzz or a good feeling that people tend to crave. And so especially kids that grow up where they are given sweets when they do something good, well, these become comfort foods that you rely on when you get to become an adult.
And do we become addicted to them in a way?
Yes, I talk about that in my book. That many people become carbohydrate addicted, and it affects the same centers in your brain as the opioids do. And so you've got to break that habit, and people will actually go through a withdrawal when they quit eating these high sugar foods. But the nice thing about it is that it doesn't take too long to lose your cravings. But you must avoid your trigger foods. There are foods that everyone has that trigger this whole reaction.
Right.
So you need to stay away from those.
And those juices are some of the trigger. Are they triggers? The fruit juices?
And sodas, you know, the non-diet sodas. There are a lot of people that drink regular sodas that consume hundreds of calories a day just from sodas.
Right. Oh, how horrible. And people, you know, like I said before, they say how, well, it tastes much better with the sugar in it. Well, of course it does. But what's it doing to your body? That's the question. But nobody wants to hear that. You know, they just want to do whatever they want to do.
That's right.
Well, now, besides your protein shakes and a lot of water, what else do you drink?
That's it.
You don't drink... Is milk bad for you?
I don't drink milk. You know, skim milk, I guess, is okay, but...
You don't advocate milk for... Very much.
No, not for adults. you know, I've had some patients that just couldn't get through a day without milk, and they cut it down to 2%, but that's still a lot of animal fat. You know, we get our saturated fats mostly from red meat and dairy products and egg yolks. And so I have my patients that have vascular disease that are headed for a heart attack or stroke avoid these foods.
Right. And that's the eggs they're so enjoyable, but the whole egg is, that's the problem. It tastes so good, you know, and
right.
just eating the white part of it is, you know.
Well, you can become creative. You know, I have a newsletter that comes out every month, twice a month, and we have recipes in there about.
And how does one get the newsletter?
Just go online, www.drlifedoctorlifewithouttheperiod.com, mm-hmm. and then you can register, and we'll start sending the newsletters to you.
That's really great. Now, do you play a lot of sports? Are you able to? I mean, are you able to do everything that a 30-year-old man can do? A regular, an athlete. Can you do everything that an athlete do as a result of this?
I can.
I mean, do you have?
I'm doing martial arts. And I do as well as 30-year-olds for my belt level. And by the time I become a black belt, which hopefully be in the next 2 to 3 years, I think I can compete with 30 and 40-year-olds. That's my sport that I like. I also swim, and I do fine with that. I've never been much of a runner, a bicyclist. I do well with that.
Mm-hmm. Bicycling's really good for you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I've done judo, but I was afraid I would get hurt rolling around the floor doing all these different maneuvers to get out of holds. So I'm smart enough about what I do to know that, you know, that I could get hurt more easily doing these contact sports than a 30 or 40-year-old. So I do not want to get hurt. So everything I talk about in my book is to avoid injuries. I've seen so many patients that have come in with injuries that they got back 10, 15, 20 years ago that still create major problems for them.
What do you think the biggest obstacle is? Why don't more people do this? I mean, people certainly know they need to change their lives. But what do you think? Is it just because it's convenient not to, or it's the energy levels? They don't have the energy levels, or what is it, in your opinion?
I think a lot of it is that people just don't realize that making these changes in their lives would make such a difference in their quality of life. And in their how they feel, and their, you know, their sexual function, their ability to get rid of body fat, they just don't realize it. They just think they bought into this whole notion that aging is associated with getting fatter and fatter and losing all of the things that you like to do.
Is it psychological too? Is there a lot of? I mean, you're a PhD, so is there psychological aspects that are stopping people from doing this? I mean, is it? Are they telling themselves the wrong things? I mean, you have a very positive attitude. How critical is that?
It's very important, very important. But I think people go to their traditional medical providers, and they're told that they're just getting older, and they just need to suck it up and accept it, and they just don't know that you don't have to do that today. Men today do not have to follow the same path that their dads did, and that's my message. That's what I really want to get this out to all the people. That's why I wrote the book, that you can make the second half of your life the best part of your life, and people don't realize that. And that's what my book's all about. And that's the message I want to get out to everybody.
Now, when you were at 57, you were already, what kind of a doctor were you when you were 57?
Family practice. I'm a family practitioner.
So you, and what are you, and are you still that, you're still that way today?
Yes. I mean, I still do general medicine, but I specialize in age management medicine. And this is what I do. It's all about improving. improving the quality of men's and women's life. 80% of my patients are men, 20% are women. It's about improving their quality of life and helping them slow the aging process down and reducing their risk for disease. And it's through exercise, supplementation, the right nutrition, and correcting hormone deficiencies.
I wanted to ask you about vitamins. Should we be taking vitamins?
Absolutely. Our food supply today has been depleted of essential vitamins and minerals, and so everyone needs to supplement. And probably one of the most important vitamins is vitamin D3, and so everyone needs to take plenty of vitamin D.
You said D3, D as in David 3?
As in David.
3, okay.
You need to get blood levels so you know what your vitamin D level is, and then you can take an appropriate dose of vitamin D. And most of my patients are on 5,000 units of vitamin D3, which is way above what we used to think was necessary.
Now, do we just buy the D3 by itself, or should we? What do you suggest as far as buying the vitamins? I mean, are there a certain brand that we should be buying, or?
I've listed all this in my book under the supplements, the essential nutrients chapter. I have 10 supplements that I think every man should take, and so I've listed all that. So it's all right there in the book.
I must have missed that page. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's a chapter. It's a chapter.
Oh, so there's a whole chapter. So we can.
It's near the end.
Right. Well, I will certainly check that out. It's just amazing to talk to you and to see all this stuff that we should be doing. And, you know, it does make you feel kind of, wow, I need to change. and hopefully this book will get people to change.
Well, that's why I wrote it. I wrote it because I just could not believe what it's done for me and my patients.
How big a part do you play in your patients' motivations to do things? I mean, are you help that way, or are there some patients that you just can't help?
No, everyone that comes to me, I think I've helped because they come to me because they realize that they're not getting the answers that they want with traditional care. So they come to me because, and by the time they get to me, they are really, really motivated. And then we take that motivation and put it at new heights for them. And so we, meaning my staff and I, keep in contact with them, and we keep on top of things so that they really succeed in their programs. We teach them how to exercise and what kind of exercise to do and how to eat specifically designed for them, for their particular problems and issues.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's different.
Yeah, for the most part, everyone wants to lose body fat. But there are some people that are very sensitive to carbohydrates. Other people are not so sensitive to carbohydrates. There are some people that need to stay away from fats. So
I'm one of those people.
Right. So we design a program, and then we're constantly testing it so that they keep track, and then if they're not making progress, then we step back and regroup and get them on another pathway that until they succeed. Once they start succeeding, then it just feeds on itself, and they just really start dropping body fat.
When you say low-fat foods, I mean, does that necessarily mean... I'm just wondering, when you say low fat, how you define low fat? I mean, you take a spoonful of mayonnaise is like 11 or 12 grams of fat. I mean, that's a lot of fat. So what do you consider low fat in a food? I mean,
well, less than 10% of your calories from fats, which is not very much fat. And so to stay on a low fat diet, you've almost got to be on a vegetarian diet, a vegan diet. That's extreme, but there are people with advanced heart disease that need to be on a very extreme diet to stop the progression of their heart disease and to reverse it. And so I've talked about that in my book for people that know they have vascular disease or they know they have heart disease because they've had a stress test or a cardiac cath and they had stents. Or they've had bypass surgery.
I have a stent. I just got a stent last year. So.
Okay, so then you need to really follow the third diet I have in there,
right,
which is very low fat and low glycemic.
Right.
And then you need to, I have a whole section, throughout the book I talk about reversing vascular disease. So you and I can talk more about this, but today we can prevent heart attacks and strokes.
Mm-hmm.
The technology is there, and it's just not being done.
And people are having silent heart attacks too, and silent strokes, and don't even know it. That's the scary part for me. I'm thinking that, you know, it's happening and people don't even realize it. Or they think they get a pain in their stomach and it's really not what they think. You know, it's something more serious and they're not getting treated. And, you know, with medical things the way they are and how expensive it can be, you know, we're not getting the proper care.
I talk about cardiology in this country. Cardiology is all about fixing a problem after it's developed. In fact, all of medicine is all about fixing a problem after it has reared its ugly head. And so cardiologists are really interested in finding blockages and putting stents in or doing angioplasty or doing bypass grafting.
Mm-hmm.
And if we attack this heart disease and stroke issue early on, before we have blockages, then we're going to be way ahead of the game. And that's a big part of what I'm all about, is to prevent the progression of vascular disease so that people don't die of heart attacks and strokes. You know, more than half of us will die of heart attacks or strokes.
That's really sad.
And it's the biggest cause of death in this country.
But you gotta listen to what experts like you are saying, and that's and people aren't getting that enough. And hopefully with this book, more people will listen. I mean, that's the goal, to help people. Doesn't it feel good to help people?
Oh yeah. Every day I have patients that have reversed their downhill course and have gotten rid of body fat, improved their overall energy levels, improved their sexual function, improved their relationships because they feel good about themselves. Every day I talk to people that have done this.
Hmm. And that's the goal, to help as many. Even if you only help one person a day, I mean, or even one, even if only say 50 people get help by your book, you know, that people are going to get it. It's going to help a lot of people out if they follow it.
Yes, for sure.
But it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Dr.
David,
Life.
I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and if I can be of any help to you or any of your listeners, give me a call.
Right now, can people email you on your site too?
Yes.
You must be a busy guy, I'm sure.
They can access, well, I have a staff here that really helps me. I have a great staff. But yes, if you have questions about any part of what I do here, you can submit questions and then we can get back to you.
And the book again is called The Life Plan, How Any Man Can Achieve Lasting Health, Great Sex, and a Stronger, Leaner Body. It's out from Atria Books. It's in all your bookstores. And it's been a pleasure. And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you very much, David.